Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Isabella Garrido, Jaya Kumar, and Abyaz Karim. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. In a fusion of music and gaming, the Kingston Symphony is preparing to host an innovative concert that will showcase live gameplay alongside a full orchestral score. The symphony's final pop-up of the season, aptly named Symphonic Speedruns, is set to hit the stage on April 12th at the Kingston Grand Theatre. The past few seasons have seen the symphony explore various game soundtracks, putting on concerts that have featured music from franchises like Super Mario Bros., The Legend of Zelda, Final Fantasy, and Journey. Symphonic Speedruns adds an extra unique twist to this concept. The show will bring world-renowned speedrunners to perform live while the orchestra plays the original scores composed for these games. Evan Mitchell, music director of the Kingston Symphony, explained the inspiration behind the concert.
I'm Evan Mitchell. I'm music director of the Kingston Symphony Orchestra, which means that I'm its principal conductor. I consider myself a lifelong gamer as well. And so this is essentially looking at it from far away, it's when two of my interests intersect. But beyond that, I do an awful lot of concerts of film scores live on stage, where they project the film and then the orchestra plays the music for the film live in sync with picture. And having done so many of those, I naturally came to think, well, what's stopping us doing that with video games? And the answer is that a video game is an awful lot more of a dynamic experience than a film that is the same every time. But through a lot of work and a lot of diligence and a lot of focus, this is absolutely going to be possible. And it's a really exciting opportunity for I think, everyone involved to do this, which has really never been done anywhere near this scale before.
Like you said, it's never really been done before, but I was wondering if, before we dive into this specific event, you could speak to that kind of trend of orchestras taking on game soundtracks, because I feel like we've been seeing that across the country with various different orchestras and the Kingston Symphony as well.
Well, video games in general are bigger in terms of just even economic, from an economic standpoint, money spent. It's bigger than movies. It's bigger than the sports. I believe video games are huge. Bigger than they've ever been before. And of course, we've had, over the course of the last several decades, the way that you could phrase it is that there is now a songbook, so to speak, of video game great hits. Charlie Rosen of the 8-Bit Big Band believes that you can refer to the video game songbook in the way that you could refer to the Great American Songbook or these sorts of things. That we have enough of a repertoire amassed that the favorites, so to speak, have sort of taken on a life of their own. And so people want to hear music from video games. They want to hear from the great original 8-bit composers, Koji Kondo, of course, being the grandfather, I think, of all video game music, going forward to more contemporary scores, which leads us into, understandably, some orchestral music that, we've come to hear over the course of time. And so it's one of the biggest things in pops. If you're able to put on a video game concert, then people will certainly come, because that's what the music that they want to hear. And in the Kingston Symphony, we've always been interested in doing things a little bit differently. With a deeper dive, we've figured that this is actually a way to elevate the video game concert experience to something that has not yet been done.
The speedrunners joining the symphony are Randy Lassinger, known as Grandiose, and Scott Werner, also known as Evan's Fight. Werner and Lassinger joined the conversation to share more about speedrunning and Twitch streaming.
I was wondering if our streamers could give us a bit of a peek into the world of Twitch streaming, specifically speedrunning. You know, how would you describe it to someone who's maybe not familiar, and what excites you about it?
I think people in general just really like to tune into something that's happening live. You know, when you have something live, it's just more exciting. And so when you have Twitch stream, it's like it's something that you're streaming, broadcasting live. It's there in the moment. And you could have people that are come into your chat and they can basically talk to you, and you can answer questions to them that they ask, interact with them. And it makes for a very fun experience. And for speedrunning, it's that much better because speedrunning involves a lot of repetition. You're playing a game and sometimes you're trying to set a world record or something that's less than 5 minutes. And you're doing this for hours and hours and hours and hours, refining it, trying to get it to be as good as it could possibly be. And so within that repetition, it's so much more interesting to get to share it live with everyone and have people there that can interact with you and everyone gets to see the journey.
Yeah, a lot of it is the same. So speedrunning is a very, very long process. Celeste is my game. It's a game that if you really want to, you can sit down and play it for the first time and beat it in one sitting in one day. And this is also a game I've put on Steam as of right now, about 4,500 hours into. It's a very long process and people like to tune in to the process. They like to see how you get from having played it to the first time to getting to a top level speedrun. And they'll sit there and they'll watch you and they'll chime in and they enjoy the process of really getting to intimately know your video game, know everything about it, know everything you can do in it, every single step of the way. It really, like, I've always seen speedrunning as like my relationship with the video game and like how much I really know and how like how it kind of becomes a part of me and how I become a part of it. It's really like its own living, breathing thing, even though it's not. That's just kind of how it feels to me. And being able to share that with your viewers, being able to share that with people, I think is a really fun time.
The concert will highlight two beloved games, Cuphead and Celeste, both known for challenging gameplay and captivating soundtracks. Mitchell, Lassinger, and Werner discussed how the collaboration came together.
How did this collaboration come to be? What's the story there?
I had seen over the course of time that this type of concert was something that could theoretically be possible. And I had seen performances where this had been done somewhat on a smaller scale, be it with a smaller ensemble or a more open-ended type of game. I wanted something that was very specific. I wanted to showcase high-level gameplay of games that had a very high skill ceiling, that is to say, games that are naturally very challenging, so that most people who would engage with this game would have the experience of, like, I beat it, it was very hard, but it was very rewarding because it was a challenge. To see high-level players go through it and just absolutely annihilate the game, make it seem as though it's just as easy as breathing. That's part of the allure, I think, for people watching Twitch streams, seeing just high-level play and seeing what is physically possible with games that are quite hard. But the trend had certainly been having more of these kinds of experiences where there was a dynamic aspect to video game music in concert. A lot of video game concerts, if there is a video or a graphical element, it'll be a pre-recorded stretch of gameplay. So it's fun and it's interesting and it's the sort of thing that people want to hear. But at the same time, it doesn't have that life. It doesn't have that dynamism that a live concert of this nature has. And I knew that I was on the right track when this year at the Games Done Quick Marathon, this is a twice-yearly charity marathon for the Prevent Cancer Foundation, which speedrunners basically run games around the clock. There was a live band that did a live accompaniment to the game Crazy Taxi. And I thought, oh, okay, we're definitely hitting this at the right point, because the big thing about symphonic speedruns is that we're taking that idea and we are just blowing it up exponentially. It's a full-sized orchestra that is playing through the entire soundtrack of the game as you would experience it, going from the very beginning to the very end of two games that have undoubtedly the greatest soundtracks, the greatest scores of recent times. It's really just I had a long time where I was desiring this kind of outcome. We've planned for it for quite some time, and now all the pieces have come together. And so when I was looking for players to be our soloists for this concert, I just went to the speedrun.com leaderboards, and I found top players who I watched a couple of streams just to see what they were like in terms of relating to their chat, relating to their audience, caliber of gameplay. And so these two were very easy choices, and I'm really delighted that both of them, Scott and Randy are coming and showcasing their great skill. And it's going to be something, I think, really astonishing for our audiences.
And Scott and Randy, what did you think when you were approached with this? What was your first thought?
Definitely skeptical, because I've been solicited a lot of times over the years for like random things. But when Evan DM'd me a year or so ago, it definitely caught my interest because it was definitely way more involved. It was definitely unique. It wasn't something I'd ever heard of. Luckily, I happen to be pretty decent friends with Kevin Regamy, who's one of the developers for Celeste. He did all the sound effects and stuff like that. So the moment Evan sent me the message, I went to Kevin. I'm like, Kevin, is this legitimate? And he's like, yeah, it's totally real. And I'm like, this sounds like a really cool idea. I think I'm going to do it.
And yeah, for me, it started off similar. I was really skeptical. I'm like, okay, because I get the same stuff. Lots of random messages, people sending stuff. But this one was, it was just so interesting. I'm like, wait, this has to be something, because this is just way too unique. Just even hearing it set out to me. So I kind of did a little bit of research myself, and it's one of those things where it's a little bit nerve-wracking for me to kind of go out and do something like this. But this event was just like so cool. I'm like, when am I ever going to have an opportunity to do something like this awesome to this scale? And I was like, I absolutely have to go. And so I just said yes, and we started working right away, and it's been awesome. Looking forward to it.
Both speedrunners are preparing for rehearsals with the orchestra leading up to the show, ensuring that the live music aligns seamlessly with the gameplay.
Essentially, they will do their thing and we will do ours, but we have worked tirelessly to make it so, for example, when you, in Celeste, as an example, when you get to a particular point in a level, when you cleared a certain amount of progress, the music dynamically changes from one cue to the other, and we have a system to be able for us to jump from any point in the loop of that previous music to the next cue. And so essentially my hope is that outside of the nature and the quality of the sound coming, the music coming at them, it'll be sort of the same experience largely that they would have had during the speed run with the music on themselves.
Adding to the experience, the original composers of both soundtracks will be in attendance.
The composers for both of these games are actually going to be in attendance. As it turns out, they're both Canadians, and they're both, we were able to secure their availability. And so they're both going to be here for the concert. They'll also be there for the dress rehearsal, which will be wonderful because they'll get a sense of not just the performance, but the road that we took to get there. And so it's just the cherry on top of a pretty crazy Sunday.
Mitchell, Evans Fight, and Grandios give a final comment on what audiences can expect to experience at the Grand Theater on April 12th.
Well, I think that, I'll let the guys weigh in on this as well. But again, they can experience something that has never been done before on this nowhere near this scope. A full orchestra playing all sorts of popular musical selections outside of the two games. We have some medleys featuring music from Kingdom Hearts, from Civilization, from Halo, from Undertale. But of course, the big set pieces for this concert are a full playthrough by incredibly skilled players of Cuphead and Celeste, two very challenging games that have some of the greatest music that has yet been written for the medium. And we're going to play it where the music changes dynamically in sync with the gameplay. Again, a one-of-a-kind experience for the very first time. So it's something that I think is going to be very exciting for Kingston.
I truly fully believe that Evan was absolutely telling the truth when he's saying these games, they have some of the best soundtracks in recent times. Not just the games we're playing, but Undertale, Civilization. I can already hear the music he's going to play without even knowing the set list. And people, when they see our runs, when they see us play the game, hopefully they're not too in the know with how speedrunning looks like, because for people, when they watch these games and they watch them get broken apart into pieces, it's always a fun time.
It's kind of a beautiful thing, because video games, like, music is such a key element in like every video game, essentially. And so having this kind of come together where you have the live music and you have the game being played live all there is going to be awesome. And it, like Evan was saying, it's something unique to do it at this scale. And I'm really excited to get to kind of show off my game, because, you know, it's something I've put a lot of time and effort into. I'm really passionate about it. I love doing it. And I know for me, like when I was younger and stuff, and I used to watch speedruns, and even now, you know, I'll see a new speedrun or something. It's so awesome to see something that's so refined, because you're talking about, you know, my speed run might only be around the 20 minute mark or somewhere around there. So much effort and time has been put into that small little bits. And so when you come from the outside and you get to watch this, it's like, what is this? You know, what's going on? At least that's the experience I've had watching speedruns for the first time. And I think it'll be really exciting for people to get to see that, maybe their first time reaction to some of these speedruns alongside the incredible music. It's going to be amazing.
Once again, that was Evan Mitchell, music director with the Kingston Symphony, and streamers Evans Fight and Grandiose, who will be performing symphonic speedruns in Kingston later this month. This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.
Good evening, folks. I'm Abias from CFRC News, and you're listening to our segment Campus Corner, your go-to source for campus updates. But today, it's going to get a little different. I want to talk about something a little more personal. Art and its place in my life. Art has always fascinated me, not just as something to admire, but as a language that speaks beyond words. Whether it's a painting that stops you in your tracks, a print that tells quite a story, or a poster banner that demands attention, art has always found a way to make you see the world it wants you to see. It's powerful, it's intimate, and sometimes revolutionary. It's also deeply personal. We hang pieces on our walls because they resonate with us, reminding us of something we love, something we have lost, or something we aspire to be. Growing up, I remember walking through galleries and feeling an unspoken connection to a stranger's work. Someone I would never meet, but someone who exactly understood how I felt in that moment. Art creates those connections across times, across experiences, and across perspectives. That's why I'm excited about the BFA Fine Art Print Sale happening at the Athletic and Recreational Center, commonly known as ARC, from March 31st to April 2nd. This sale isn't just about buying art, it's about supporting student artists whose work reflects passion, experimentation, and storytelling in every print. From intaglio to screen printing, relief prints to lithography, each piece carries the unique imprint of its creator. And when you bring one home, you're not just getting an artwork, you're getting a piece of someone's creative journey. Speaking of an artist's creative journey and the value of art, the AGNES Members Valuation Day and Art Talk with Rob Cowley on April 3rd at the TED Center for Creativity and Learning is a reminder of how artworks continue to hold stories long after they have left the artist's hand. Whether it's a piece passed down from generations or a painting you found in a hidden corner of a gallery, every artwork has a history. From 2:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m., experts from auction house Cowley Abbott will be offering free valuations, helping people uncover the worth of their Canadian and international art pieces. And at 6 p.m., Rob Cowley will be diving into Canadian auction industry, discussing rare finds, the secondary art market, and the thrill of discovery in the world of fine arts. It's interesting how art can hold value in so many ways. Sometimes it's a monetary value, a collectible piece worth thousands of dollars, but more often its worth is personal, something we keep not because it's expensive, but because it means something to us. Maybe it reminds us of a place we have been, a person we love, or a dream we once had. And then there is spilling the tea on April 3rd, from 4:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Ontario Hall's third floor, an event that explores how feminist art has been a force of resistance and transformation. Art isn't just about aesthetics, it's also about power, history, and action. Protest banners, signs, buttons, and books, they have all played a role in shaping movements. This event brings together artists, scholars, and activists to discuss how feminist art has challenged the status quo and continues to do so today. Art has always been at the heart of change. Think about the posters of the suffrage movement, the graffiti of political resistance, the photographs that document history's turning points. These aren't just images, they're declarations, conversations, demands for something better, and they remind us that art is never just on the sidelines. It's right in the middle of it all. So, if you have a moment this week, take some time to engage with art. Visit a gallery, support a student artist at BFA Fine Art Print Sale, explore the history of an artwork at the AGNES Members Valuation Day, or join a discussion on feminist art at Spilling the Tea. Start a conversation about a piece that means to you. Because art isn't just something we hang on walls, it's something that stays with us. And that's a wrap. I'm Abhyas from CFRC News, and you are listening to our segment, Campus Corner. Stay tuned for more updates. Over to Isabella for sports after.
This is Jesse Bell with your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. After a wild, unprecedented weekend full of freezing rain, temperatures have rebounded back into the double digits. Monday, March 31st, we see a daytime high of 15 degrees with a 70% chance of rain throughout the day, dropping down to minus 5 overnight with a 30% chance of showers. Tuesday, April 1st, a sunny start to the month of April with a high of 6 degrees and sunny conditions, dropping down to minus 7 overnight. Wednesday, April 2nd, a mix of snow and rain in the forecast with a daytime high of 3 degrees, a 40% chance of precipitation, actually increasing by a degree to 4 overnight with rain throughout. Thursday, April 3rd, we're going to see more unseasonably warm weather with a daytime high of 16 degrees, the warmest day of the year thus far, and a 60% chance of showers throughout, dropping down to 1 degree overnight, and it will be cloudy. Friday, April 4th, another double-digit day, 10 degrees and cloudy, dropping down to minus 2 overnight. Saturday, April 5th, more warm weather, albeit a touch colder at a daytime high of 7 degrees, and it will be cloudy. Sunday, April 6th, 11 is the daytime high with a 60% chance of precipitation, and moving into the start of next week, Monday, April 7th, daytime high of 5 degrees, but it will be dreary and windy. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. Reduced load restrictions are in effect in Kingston as of March 1st. Heavy trucks and loads are restricted on city roads where posted. These restrictions help reduce damage to roads in the spring. A complete list of roads with restrictions can be found in the traffic bylaw section of the City of Kingston website. Here are your road closures for the week. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street, Princess to 486 Albert is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. King Street, the tragically hip way to Place d'Armes, is closed April 2nd at 7:30 p.m. to April 4th at 2 a.m. for Riley Green event-related parking and storage at Slush Puppy Place. Reminder that the Hanson Memorial Parking Structure Restoration Project is now underway. The work will take place throughout all levels of the building and will include efforts such as routine structural maintenance, repainting, replacement of waterproofing materials, and upgrades to the building's mechanical and electrical systems. The work is planned to conclude in July of 2025. At all times during construction, efforts are being made to ensure that approximately 100 spaces remain available for parkers. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club. Expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Please be aware of lane shifts, traffic speed limits, and share the lane signage. Highway 2, Abidon to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abidon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Montreal Street at John Counter. Expect delays for upgrades to the intersection, including new lighting, traffic signals, lanes, paving, and signage to improve safety and efficiency for all road users and accommodate increased traffic from the Wabin Crossing.
Hello everyone, this is Henry, CFRC intern from the Queen's Department of History, bringing you this week's concert and events calendars. Starting with events, on Monday, Loggers and Joggers Run Group meets at Fine Balance Brewing Company at 7 p.m. Folks can head over to Domino Theater for their fifth performance of A Chorus Line. This afternoon show starts at 4:15 p.m. with tickets available online on TicketScene for around $35. Additional performances will continue through the week till April 6th. Also on Monday, both One Eye Jacks and The Brass will host their weekly trivia nights starting at 7:45 and 8 p.m. respectively. On Tuesday, the Lululemon Weekly Fun Run meets at 270 Princess Street starting at 5:30. The Kingston Public Market runs at Springer Market Square from 8:30 to 4 p.m. Also on Tuesday, Euchre Night is happening at Daft Brewing from 9 to 7 p.m. After that, on Wednesday, One Eye Jacks will be hosting Board Game Night starting at 7. Folks can also head to Muziki, which is hosting its weekly life drawing event. Don't forget to bring your own art supplies and $5 to participate in uninstructed life drawing. Also on Wednesday, the Grad Club will be hosting the Open Stage Dread Show starting at 8 p.m. Those interested in performing should arrive before 7:45 or during intermission around 9 p.m. Performance slots are first come, first serve. Both Something in the Water and Daft Brewing will both be hosting their weekly trivia nights, both starting at 7 p.m. On Thursday, the Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 to 4 p.m. in Springer Market Square. The Kingston Symphony will be hosting its vinyl record sale at its warehouse, 785 Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard. This sale will run from April 3rd, Thursday, to the 6th. Also, the Out in Front Weekly Run Group will be hosting its usual public run this Thursday, starting downtown at 6:15 p.m. in front of Runner's Choice. All people are invited regardless of ability, sex, sexual orientation, or gender identity. On Friday, The Buckle and Daft Brewing will both be hosting their weekly free karaoke nights, doors open at 9. Also on Friday, the Italo-Canadian Club of Kingston will hold its Fish Friday, all-you-can-eat seafood buffet with tickets available on their website for around $50. Next up, on Saturday, folks can head down to participate in the Runner's Choice East End Run Group at 7:50 a.m. at the K-Nets Kingston Supermart, 29 Niagara Park. Also on Saturday, the Kingston Public Market runs from 8:30 to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. On Sunday morning, the Runner's Choice Lawn Run starts downtown outside their store at 8:20 a.m. All ages and paces are welcome. And finally, the Memorial Center Farmers Market will take place from 9 to 1 p.m. at Memorial Center. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Again, I'm Henry Walker, CFRC intern from the Department of History. We're continuing with today's concert and events calendars. For concerts, coming up on Monday, the Mourning Doves will be playing at Muziki starting at 8 p.m. Next on Tuesday, Muziki will also be hosting its open mic from 8 to 11 p.m., Also, Tom's Tuesday Afternoon Happy Hour Jam will be hosted at the club at the RCHA starting at 4. On Wednesday, Wisty Smoke will be playing at The Buckle starting at 7:30. Hotel Wolf Island will also be hosting its weekly open mic from 8:30 to 11:30 p.m. Also on Wednesday, the groups Abomania and Night Fever, as well as a collection of additional guests, will be performing at the Kingston Grand Theater. Tickets are available in person at the Grand or on the Grand's website for around $59. Doors for this show open at 7:30. After that, on Thursday, Ale House will be hosting its second run of Ales and Amps featuring some of Kingston's hottest bands, Carnelian, The Clay Pigeons, and Jinx, from 8 to 2 a.m. Tickets are available for $10 on Eventbrite. Also on Thursday, the Free Label will be playing a concert at the Broom Factory at 7:30. Tickets are available for around $30 on Eventbrite. Trailer Swift Band will be playing a free gig at the Buckle Thursday evening at 8 p.m. Folks can also head down to Slush Puppy Place Thursday night at 8 p.m. to catch Riley Green, Ella Langley, Jake Worthington, and Eric Dillon in a concert as part of their Damn Good Country Music Tour. Tickets are available for roughly between $53 and $126 in person at the SPP or on Ticketmaster. On Friday, the Broom Factory will be hosting the release show for Sons of Rick's debut EP, The Basement. Other bands including Blunt Force Llama and Paper Bride Princes will be playing this night from 7:30 to 10:30. Tickets for this concert are available online on TicketScene for around $15. Also on Friday, Jeremy Yun and Nick Kupfer will be playing at Hotel Wolf Island starting at 8:30. The Mansion is going to be hosting two shows Friday night with bands Out of Order, Screamin' Sins, and Mississippi Grover playing down in the venue's wine cellar starting at 7:30, and musicians Long Range Hustle and Matt Besnitz playing above ground at 8:30. Tickets for the former are available only at the door for $15, whereas tickets for the latter can be found online at Ticket Scene. The Celtic Kitchen Party will also be playing a free gig Friday night at Tiernanog from 9 to 12 p.m. On Saturday, Dead Root Revival and the Stephen Stanley Band will be playing at the Broom Factory starting at 7:30. Tickets are available on Ticket Scene for around $20. Bands The Human Rights and 8 will be playing at Hotel Wolf Island from 7 to 11 p.m. Tickets for this event are available online on the Hotel Wolf Island's website for $23.50 or at the door for $30. And finally, closing out the week on Sunday, Savannah Shea will be playing at Musiki from 4:30 to 6:30. Have a concert you would like to add to our online and on-air concert calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.